Lord, we thank you for this season of you sending your son to be born so we can be born again. And Lord, we just to ask you to give us wisdom and direction for our lives, Lord, as we taught this morning and learned from your word about the kingdoms of this earth, Lord, will all pass away, but your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
yeah.
One that will never fade away, never be destroyed. And Lord, help us to be focused on that kingdom, Lord, and not the kingdom of our own lives, Lord, and caught up into the earthly kingdoms of this world, Lord. But we be about your business, Lord, about being your disciples, your missionaries. Speak to us through your word this morning through our pastor. Lord, strengthen him. And then you just to give us ears to hear, Lord, and that we would put feet to what you've told us to do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Hopefully you had a great time with your family this week, Christmas season, and I enjoyed mine. As we get ready to dive in, I want to let you know one other thing. Scott will be turning, is it 70? Is that right? 70th birthday. They'll celebrate on Wednesday. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that. 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's just a come and go. This Wednesday, it'll be at the gym. You are invited to come and celebrate Scott's 70th. He made it to 70. That's great. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Here today, as we kind of close out this year and start a new year, you know, there's been just something upon my heart, and I can only speak for myself, but I think that sometimes there, just when with many different things, well, for instance, we, in our small groups, we've been studying Daniel. Daniel was one who had these disciplines in his life, and these disciplines he did even in the face of death, knowing that he would be thrown into a den of lions if he continued to, or at least if he was caught doing what he knew that God wanted him to do, which was to worship the one true God. And he was, and he did so anyway. And we have disciplines in our lives that we do because they're good. And but I think that sometimes we can allow even the good things to just become mundane or not really focus upon the purpose and the calling that God has on our lives. And so my heart today, my plan, what I believe that the Lord has shown me through the passage that we'll look at today is that each one of us are to be intentional, and we're to ask the question, what am I here for? Or what have I been called to do? What is my purpose? And I think that as we will look at Scripture, we will see, you know, these three things right here were made, and they were made with three different purposes in mind, right? You have a plate. This plate would be a horrible coffee mug. You know, as soon as you tried to drink coffee out of it, you're probably going to be burned or at the very least make a mess or have to slurp it, you know, to get something out of it. Same with this mug would be a horrible, you know, it'd be really hard to eat a steak off of this coffee mug, right? You see, they're made for different purposes. They have different things in mind for them and uses. And so today, what we are going to look at and ask the question is, what is the purpose that God has made us for, and how do we best understand that? I think that there are a lot of things that we think God wants of us, and it is possible that maybe we have run after the wrong thing or are pointed in the wrong direction. And so my prayer today is that all of us will be realigned, that every one of us, regardless of where we're at in our journey with Christ, will identify ourselves at a specific moment in time. We'll use some visuals to help us get there, but at least have a clarity of where we're headed. Amen? And so to do that, we will need to jump in. And I have a couple things to help us here. So today we're going to be talking about the potter and the clay. Here's a clump of clay. We'll use this to represent us when we enter this world. We are all broken. We are all separated. We still have worth. We still have value. We're created in the image of God. We are still clay. But we're going to use this just to represent us as we are in this world. Every one of us start as a lump of clay. But eventually, the plan is when God makes us new, we become new. And a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and we'll see that. But the thing about this is it's not really moldable. It's not really going to be easy to make this useful. Now, I can try to make this like a coffee mug, and I can put a, you know, and it might be able to hold some things. I don't know that it'd be good to drink out of it. But I could even squeeze here and say, well, here's the handle, you know, and I can try to, you know, use this, but it's still, it's got rocks all in it. It's, you know, got a fork. And I think that sometimes as, like, we'll come to church and we're like, you know, if I just clean myself up, I can look like, I can start to look like whatever, I can look around and be like, well, hey, they're dressed like, okay, I can dress like that. Or, oh, I see, I haven't noticed anyone cuss today. I should probably maybe stop cussing. And I can even start to clean myself up a little bit and be like, you know, if I'll just remove some of these things, then I at least look like everyone else. And I think that there's probably a lot of people attending churches that are just doing that. They're just trying to look like everyone else and, you know, maybe even get to a place where they'll raise their hand at certain points in song. I mean, they've seen other people do it. And they'll start to just, you know, if I can look enough like everyone else, then surely that'll be good, right? And we even have some of these, like, superstitious things, almost like witchcraft things. Well, if you'll just say this prayer, then poof, you'll become a Christian, and you'll be good. All you got to do is say a prayer. Say it like this now, in this order. And we almost put a pressure upon someone where, like, if they don't say the right things, then they didn't do it right. And I want you to know, that is not what God has called us to do. He's called us to a life of surrender, to a life of transformation, to a life of faith. And I think that even sometimes as Christians, we're like, well, if I'll just do the right things, then I'll be joyous. And then we look around and we're like, where's the joy? Where's this peace that surpasses all understanding? And then we start to become frustrated with, like, I'm missing something along the way because I'm doing every, God, do you not see what I'm doing? I'm giving, I'm kind to people, I'm helpful to people. What else do I need to do? And I think we've missed it. I mean, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many, don't miss this, many will say to me on that day, did I not prophesy in your name or in your name cast out demons and do mighty works? Like, these are churchy things. And I wonder if there's a lot of Christian or people attending church who have their list of things. I went to church, I read my Bible, I'm kind, I give to people, and they have churchy things on their list. But Jesus says, I will tell them plainly, depart from me, I never knew you. So I want you to know, you don't earn anything here today. You can't check some box. Well, I went to church today, and so I must be a Christian. It's not about anything you do. It's about what's been done. It's about what we've just celebrated in Christmas, that God loved you, and so he sent Jesus to come and to die to pay your price. But the beautiful part of it is that he transforms you. And in the surrender, it's saying, God, I can't do this. I'm going to trust you to do that. And so there's a problem. There's a problem with the clump. We're created, but we're not really moldable. We're here. We can try, but that's all we're going to get. We're just going to try. We might try to look like someone. We might even hold some stuff. We might even experience some things that God wants us to experience in this clump. But the plan is that you become new. You're different. And so, just to help us to identify this clump, lump of clay here is just a reminder. Jeremiah in chapter 17, verse 9 would say that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Where Genesis 6, just before God sent the flood, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Or Jesus in Mark 7 would say it this way, "For from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within." They come from within us. Like, it's our nature to do them. It's natural that we do them. I have not had to teach my girls how to sin. I've not had to teach our foster boys how to sin. It's natural. Comes natural. And so the wages of that sin is death. But there's hope. And this is the message of Christmas, is God loved you. He sent Jesus. That while you were yet sinners, Christ died. He has paid the price for you and I to know. But there is a false gospel, and I think that what Jesus makes us new and sets us free from is this false religion of you. It's lifeless. It's fruitless. It is. It brings no joy. And he sets you free from that. You don't have to try to earn that. But instead, he makes you a new creation. And so, it's not fear-based behavior modification, right? I don't just change so I don't go to hell. It is literally him make us a new creation. And today, my prayer is that hope that we can illustrate that for you. So, there's a decision we make. It is a surrender. It is us, as a lump of clay, coming to God and saying, okay, I want you. I've sinned against you. I'm selfish. I'm prideful. Will you forgive me? Will you make me new? And then we allow him, in the hands of a potter, we allow him to then make us who he wants us to be. So there's purpose. And I don't get to determine that purpose. And this is the huge thing that I think we need to understand. Like, I don't get to decide, well, God, I'll do this. Like, it's not a buffet. Hey, I'll take the love of Jesus. I'll take the peace and the joy. But the call to proclaim you, like, that's hard. I'm not going to do that. To make disciples, that's, you know, I don't know how to do that. I don't see anyone else do it. I'm not going to do that. It's not a buffet, leave it. Like, if I'm at a buffet, I'm leaving the peas to themselves. I'm not touching them bad boys right there, right? I'm walking on by. I'm going to leave the spinach. I'm going to leave those things. That's just me. We don't get to do that with Christianity. Like, we surrender, and he then determines what we do and how we do it. So, we're called to a new creation. And so, before we read in Jeremiah, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul gives us a clear picture of this. He says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." The old has passed away, and the new has come. If you don't mind, if you're able to, would like to, you can stand with me just in honor of God's word. We'll begin reading in chapter 18 in verse 1. And Julia, if you'd like, you're more than welcome to come on up. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me: "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Father, we want to thank you so much for your word. We ask that today that you would give us a clear understanding of where we are at in our walks with you, that you would renew our passion to live in obedience, that we would, if there are some here who would identify themselves as not being transformed, that, Lord, that they would respond in faith in you, and that, Lord, that you would make them into what you would call them to do, help them to live out their purpose. So, God, I pray that even as a church, as a whole, that we would not seek to do anything other than your will. And so, God, lead and guide us. Here we are today. We come to you surrendered. We need you. Lead us. We depend upon you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Got it? All right, Julia. So I see that your wheel here is empty, nothing on it. I have some clay for you. Would this work? Like, can you make something out of this?
No. Even if I could make something out of this, there are so many impurities in it that it would explode in the kiln when I was firing it. So it's not usable at the moment.
I took the fork out of it and some rocks, and you know, but it's still not usable.
No.
Okay. Well, so here in our story, though, it mentions that the potter was working with a vessel here. It says, and the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. Like, is that normal? Like, does that happen a decent amount?
Yeah, that can happen where sometimes the clay is just not cooperating with you, and so as you're throwing it, even it'll collapse as you're working on it, or a whole number of things can happen, but sometimes it's
so the problem's not the potter, it's the clay.
Right, oftentimes. Kay. Although I'm not perfect.
I like how you said it's the clay's fault. Like it, you know. But how true is that in our lives? Like, there are times when God is clearly trying to get us to do something and we are just not moldable, right? And, wow, so what happens then? Let's just say you're making this thing and you have in your mind what it's going to be, but then it does do that. It doesn't, you know, it's not your fault, but it's his, you know, his fault. But it like caves in. What then would you have to do? Like, would you have to like smash it all back together, or like explain that? Like what?
Yeah, so I'd take the clay and smash it all together and be able to rework it into something different, but I wouldn't be able to necessarily create the same thing that I was originally intending to create. I would have to create something different later.
Okay. Yeah, if you don't, let's see it. I mean, you know, as you see, she's going to put a piece of clay in the middle of this thing. And I want, before, but thank you. Glad I caught you. I first want you to see the difference. So, clump, we're born into this world, we're made a new creation. New creation, it doesn't mean it's perfect, but it means it's redeemed. It means that it has a plan. It's in the hand of the potter, which is the most crucial part. Like, you, if you have believed in Jesus, you've been made new, you are now in the hands of the potter. God, it doesn't mean you were outside of anything that God could do in your life, but now you've surrendered to him. He's made you new. There's a purpose for you. And I think that that's what I want you to see today. Here, you have just, you're apart from God. You're not surrendered. There's things in your life that are getting in the way. You're not going to be able, as she said, she can't make you into new. Something new has to come. New creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So, can you right now just start like forming something?
No, it has to be centered on the wheel first. Otherwise, it's just going to fly all over the place and, worst case scenario, actually like launch off the wheel.
And I think it's important for us to realize that. I think so many times I think it's very, I mean, the Bible is so good. Even in Paul's instructions to when they set elders or leaders of the church, one of the things is that they're not a new believer. And the reason for that is because they may not be fully centered upon God and the rock of Jesus Christ, so much so that there's wisdom and maturity there. I think sometimes with what is new, we can become puffed up in this new life. Man, I look back to when I first was a believer. Literally, I tried to share the gospel with my dad, and I remember I came with arrogance. I was like, "Dad, I'm worried about you." And immediately was met with a defensiveness, and I was trying to convert my dad. I went about it all wrong. And man, there was so much pride. I remember even I went to a new church and we moved towns. I went to the new church. Man, I remember even pulling the youth pastor over to the side and be like, "Man, you're doing this all wrong." And I was like, "This isn't church, you know?" And that may have been true, but you see, my heart was in this just prideful arrogance. And man, we've got to be centered. You see, when we're centered upon Christ, his life starts to live through us. And we're in the hands of the potter, we're moldable. And God can start to shape us, not into what we think we ought to be, but who he wants us to be. And there's beauty in that. And so we respond to the Lord. If you were to continue on, and we don't have time to dive into all this, but if you continue on into chapter 18, you're going to see some things. God described Judah as marred clay, and so them being in the potter's hands, he can do whatever he wants with them. And so ultimately, he told them that judgment, in verses 7 and following, that judgment is planned unless they repent. And some of us, maybe you're calling to God saying, "Hey, I don't want to be that. I want to do that." Then the same message is for you. Repent. Turn from that. Like, he's the potter. Who are you to decide what you're going to do or what you're not going to do? There was a call to repentance, and it was ignored. Here, Jeremiah called, and he called them to repent, but they ignored it. And even on down in verse 18 and following, they even start to plot against Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, even though he was obedient to speak the words of the Lord, Jeremiah, and sometimes we can get like this in our obedience, "Look at me. I'm doing all I'm supposed to do. I'm sharing. I'm proclaiming. I'm serving. Why aren't they serving?" And this is what Jeremiah did. There was a lady who's going through cancer in the first service, and she said, "This is what I learned." She goes, "I apologize, but I kept reading." And she goes, "This is what God spoke to my heart." She says, "Here I am trying to be obedient, and I'm like Jeremiah. God is helping me to see that I need to be moldable, because like Jeremiah, I'm saying, 'God, make these people, take away their kids, bring condemnation on them.'" This is what Jeremiah starts to say to the Lord in 19 and following. "Let their wives become childless." Like, he's wishing pain upon them because they plan his destruction. We can get all puffed up and we start trying to tell God how he is supposed to do things. You're not God. This life isn't about you. And it's the whole hope of the gospel. When we make life about us, you see, then pain hurts. Pain can tear down. Pain can get us to a place where we'll turn away from God even. But when we're just in clay in the potter's hand, then just like Daniel, "Throw me in the lion's den. God, is this what you have? I'm going to be obedient to you. I'll live your purpose. You throw me in the lion's den, even if the lions eat me up, that's okay." And then God saves. God's with him, right? He's just clay in the potter's hands. And so God is there with him in the den. Sends an angel, shuts the mouths of lions. The king comes, calls him out. "Did God save you?" "Yes, he did." You know what? God took a pagan king and proclaimed his glory to all nations. You are just clay in the potter's hands. And there's freedom in that. So if God brings loss or cancer or struggles in your life, "Lord, how do you want me to bring you glory? I'm just clay in your hand. I'll do it in this situation. Show me." You see, then we start to live. But here's what happens. Isaiah 29, verse 16 says, "You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say to its maker, 'He did not make me'?" where the thing formed say to the one who formed it, he has no understanding? Like, how foolish would it be that this, what Julia has just made here, I didn't even introduce, sorry, this is Julia Raines. But what Julia has just made here, it would be very foolish for this thing to say, whoa, where's my handle? You didn't make me. How foolish would that be? Like, here it is, having been formed like over thousands of years, I just came into this circular being here. And but no, that'd be very foolish. In Isaiah 45, it says, woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles. Like, literally, that we, and this is what we do to God a lot. We say, God, I don't want to be how you made me. I want to be a mug. Life would sure be more joyous if I was a mug. Or, as a mug, we'd say, you know, I really want to be a plate. And we actually live in a culture that you can say whatever you want to be and people will accept you that. I'm a mug. I know we're laughing, but this is, you see how foolish it would be for us to turn to the one who made us and say such a thing. And sometimes as Christians, this is what we do. We turn to God who has formed us and has given us purpose and even told us very clearly, we're going to look at it in a second, our purpose. And we say, no, I don't want to do that. That sounds hard. You mean you want me to move my kids away from grandparents? I could never do that. I couldn't do that to them. Well, then who's God? Who's the potter? You mean you want me to give up some of my time to invest in other people so that the gospel could go forth? God, I don't think I can do that. Like, I don't know enough. We turn to the potter all the time and say, I don't want to do that. And I think that it might be because we haven't acknowledged who the potter is. That the potter has the authority to tell us the purpose that he has intended. Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. You see, it is a humble dependence upon the potter to say, mold me. Here I am. If I'm not useful, help me. Jesus put this clearly, like if we're not bearing fruit or enough fruit, then the Father will come and prune us so that we'll bear more fruit, right? Like, this is the picture. You and I have a purpose, and we're to just be willing participants as the Father comes and leads us and creates in us who he wants us to be. But instead, we come with a prideful arrogance of how we think things ought to go, and we say, no, 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 it should be like this. Where's the handle? I don't want to hold plants. I'd rather be used for ice water. This could be used for that. But the potter didn't make it for that. The potter made it so it would hold these flowers. I mean, this is how Julia set it up. She's the one who made it. And then the same with this. Julia, what's the purpose of this one?
This is also a vase, just a different style. So it's supposed to hold flowers as well.
And because the potter, because the clay is in the hands of the potter, and in this situation will always be in the hands of the potter, the purpose comes from the potter, not the clay. And so, you don't get to decide your purpose. When you gave your life and surrendered your life to him, you gave that up. But do you see how so many times this is the position we have ourselves? No, I don't want to do that. So, 1 John chapter 2 would say, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And because this purpose has been determined, Philippians 2, Paul would say, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He determines it. So, the purpose. What is your purpose? Jesus, as he's getting ready to ascend to heaven, he told us in Matthew 28, our purpose. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. I will be your potter to the end of the age. I will mold you and use you and tell you your purpose to the end of the age. He's already determined it, clearly. And you see how us, though, we're like, but I don't know how to do that. No one's ever told me how to do that. What does that look like? I can't share the gospel. That's not my personality. I can't proclaim him. Well, to finish, 2 Corinthians, where we started, says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciling us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You have a ministry. Think about that. Think about just for a second in your head. I have a ministry. And it's been determined by God, given to you by God. You've been sent to be light in the world amongst darkness. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are, you are, ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So, you were once separated from God, a lump of clay. But God has now, if you have surrendered your life to him, you are made new. You are in the hands of the potter, and in the hands of the potter, he will make you into who he decides for you to be. And there's a purpose for that. And the purpose is that the things that you do, the way that you love people and invest in people, will ultimately reach the ends of the earth. And yet, day in and day out, we decide to point in a direction that is different than that. Well, if I'll just go to Sunday school or small group, that's good. If I'm kind, if I'm loving, if I, you know, tell people I go to church, if I make good posts on Facebook or Instagram, then, and I just wonder if it's not like this plate saying, I'm a mug. And God is sitting there going, I've not created you for that. I've not called you to that. I've called you to go and make disciples. I remember the first Sunday that I came here. You guys give Julia a hand for making her vase here. She made a mug in the first service. She got to decide. It's her purpose as the potter, right? But I remember the very first Sunday that I was here. Sometimes that can be a lot of pressure because you guys were getting ready to vote on whether or not you would call me as your pastor. But I remember making a statement, and that statement is still true today as it was then. And that is that I do not want to be a part of a church that just coasts. I want to be a part of a church that is living out the purpose that we have to make disciples. Who make disciples? And I do want to take some ownership in that I've not been really clear on what that looks like. And so Scott mentioned that we're going to start a couple of just trainings, things that would be helpful. And it is my prayer that walking through that, that it would be very clear. That you, as an individual, would be able to see who God has created you. He's gifted us all very differently. And walking through 1 Corinthians, we saw that clearly. We're all gifted differently, and we're all needed as a part of the body. But it is my prayer that as we walk through this together, that we would identify who we are, how God has gifted us, and how that fits in the purpose that he has created us as the potter. And then we would rely upon him. And then we're relying upon him that we'll be moldable, shapeable, changeable. Not based upon what some man says, but based upon his word and his truth. And that we would allow him, God, through the power of the Spirit to make changes in our life that would ultimately affect the ends of the earth. Because I believe that if you and I, as Jesus did, focus on a few, then we will change the world. Because in focusing on a few, and we multiply that for each one of us, that then those few would focus on a few, and those few would focus on a few, and that it would reach literally the ends of the earth. And so, here in January, as we start this on Sunday nights, it is my prayer that clarity will come to those who come, and that we'll continue to offer those. And clarity, and my prayers is that you will give your lives to making disciples who make disciples, because this is the purpose that God has given us, and why he has made us a new creation, and why he will mold us to become who the men and women he's called us to be. And so, to close this out, just to remind you, who are you? Are you just a lump of clay here? You have value, you have worth, but you've sinned against God, just as I have. And one day, we'll stand before God, and having sinned against him, we will be deserving of his wrath, separation for eternity. Is that you? Just a lump of clay? Or have you been made into a new creation? You have been made new. You've trusted in Jesus. He's forgiven you of your sin. You're now clean, white as snow. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But maybe you're still like just happy with that. You're not useful. You're not moldable. You're in the hands of the potter, but you're not really allowing him to make you and use you how he wants to be used. Or maybe you're just uncentered. You're still just kind of, you know, wobbling around on the wheel. Or are you trusting in Jesus, allowing him to use you? He's molded you. There's always going to be growth that he has. Are you allowing him to use you for his purpose and his plan? You see, as we trust in Jesus, he'll use us, and it will affect others. And each day will be an adventure, and there'll be joy and life that comes. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And God, I just confess here this morning that for whatever reason, I've just kind of been in a season of just doing what I want. Forgive me for telling you what I will or won't do. God, I pray that you would awaken us. You'd break our hearts for even thinking that we have the right to tell you or look to you as the potter and say what I will or won't do, or question how you've made us, or question your plan or purpose. And so, God, I pray right now that you would move in power, that, God, you would open eyes to those who maybe are still separated from you, don't know you, haven't been made new, that right now, Lord, that they would respond in faith. They would call to you. You'd break their heart for the sin and what they've done, and that they would trust in what Jesus has done upon the cross. God, would you make them new? I pray for others all over this room, people who have surrendered to you. God, I pray that we would not rest until we have positioned ourselves to be used for your purpose and for your glory. God, give us a clarity in that. So, God, would you move in power amongst us? Help us to be obedient to your word and to your plan. God, we need you. We can do nothing apart from you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.